This is kind of Peter's gospel, and we know that Peter actually, his life came to an abrupt end. He was imprisoned and then crucified, and tradition tells us he was crucified actually upside down. And so we're going to see a little break in this gospel, and some people think that the break in the gospel comes because actually there was this abrupt sort of end to the notes that Mark was able to take of Peter's. But there's a second part to this chapter. And one of the things that is amazing about the Bible is that if there are any bits they're not sure of what was exactly in the original manuscripts, then they scribble it at the bottom in the footnotes. And actually this bit in the second half of Mark is one of the bits that some manuscripts have, some don't. And so they've put it in. But I tell you what, one of the reasons that you can have confidence in it, and I've been really blessed by the end of Mark 16, is that actually it kind of matches up with the rest of Scripture. And also, there's a lot of things that weren't Scripture, weren't things that could be trustworthy as kind of apostolic accounts. And a lot of those made the apostles themselves look really good, whereas as you'll see, the apostles don't kind of come out so well in this bit in terms of what it looks like, and they get sort of rebuked and challenged, and that has that sense of authenticity about it as well. So we're going to read Mark chapter 16. It's the story of what we've just been singing about Easter. It says this, Mark 16, when the Sabbath was over, that was the day after, the Saturday after Jesus died on the Friday night, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that was the Sunday, just after sunrise. Hey, if you've been up early in some of these days, there's been some beautiful sunrises. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, just after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? I don't know, just a little aside here. Do you ever kind of, maybe you're thinking about this as you come back to college or you're starting a new school or you're kind of going into a new sort of season of work or something like that, and you kind of go into it and you think, oh, I'm really worried about X, Y, Z. You know, they were really worried about this big stone that was going to be in front of the tomb. They knew it was there, and they were thinking, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And I sometimes worry about things that when I, like these women, get a bit closer, I realize that I didn't need to worry about them. And I've wasted all this time worrying about something I didn't even need to worry about. So if you're worrying about something at the moment, Jesus said, actually, don't worry. Just keep your eyes on him. So look here what happens. That when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away and didn't need to worry about the stone. The stone had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. You would be, wouldn't you? Stone's rolled away. There's this dazzling young man. Almost there's a picture of a kind of angel. But it's striking, isn't it? They kind of see this kind of youthfulness there. Dressed in white. Always angels appear in this kind of dazzling white. Sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But the angel speaks. These are messengers from God. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. And now they're kind of going, whoa. Who was crucified? And then this amazing phrase, he has risen. Should we say that together? He has risen. One more time. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? It was empty. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And we know that that's not the end of the story, because they did tell other people, and those other people told other people, and those other people told other people, and they wrote it down, and here we have it. So we know that wasn't the end of the story, but there's this break here, and that's why I'm going to continue it on, and that's where we have this sort of second half of Mark 16, which says this. Here we go, verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, which we've just been reading about, of whom he had driven seven demons. And she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. They didn't believe it. And afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. And they returned and reported to the rest of them. And you can read all about that in Luke 24. But what does it say? I need to find it again. But they did not believe it. They didn't believe it either. That's twice they've been told. He's risen. We know it. He's risen. But they didn't believe it either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And I just want to pause there, just pray briefly, and then just unpack a few things from this. So Lord, please open our eyes. Lord, that we might grow in faith and that our faith might rest on this solid rock of your truth. And so help us, I pray. We don't want to have that rebuke that the disciples had. So Lord, help us examine our hearts. For I ask in your wonderful name. Amen. I want to ask this evening, what are some of your core beliefs? What are the things that really deep down you believe 100%? You know, that probably you're fairly confident that if you go to sleep tonight, the sun's going to rise tomorrow and you just kind of have that sense of, yeah, kind of know it's going to happen. You don't spend a lot of time wondering about it. You probably plan for tomorrow. You've got some plan for Bank Holiday Monday, or maybe you're just so pleased you've got no plans. But you're kind of anticipating it's there. You maybe made plans for the rest of the week because you believe that that day's coming. That's pretty good, solid belief. I mean, there might be one day, I'd have to warn you, where that doesn't happen. But it's a pretty rock solid belief. I wonder what else are your core beliefs. Maybe you're really kind of confident sure of a friend or a family member who you know is kind of for you. You know that they're just kind of for you. Or maybe you're fairly kind of confident sure at, you know, I don't know, you watch Usain Bolt, if he ran again, that he'd win the 100 meters again. I mean, it was a kind of a bit apprehensive. You kind of thought, is he going to do it? But, you know, when we saw him run, we thought, yeah, he's going to do it. You know, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Actually, the beliefs that most shape our lives are our beliefs about God. There is nothing more important for you as you sort of unpack your life, as you live your life, that will shape it more than what you believe about God and who he is and what he's like. And that's why it's so amazing that Jesus comes to show us what God is like. That's why this whole series in Mark has been, what kind of king is this? Who is this Jesus? Who is this Lord? Who is God? What is he really like? And this amazing thing we've seen, that God so loves you and I that he would die for us. Staggering, amazing, to forgive us and set us free. So what are your core beliefs about God? And maybe if you've grown up amongst Christian things, you can kind of think, well, that's great. I know that 1 + 1 = 2. And I know that, you know, Julius Caesar was an emperor in Rome. And I know that Jesus was God. And I know that you know, Usain Bolt's the fastest man on earth. So you kind of stack them in that kind of order and they're there and you talk about this at church and you talk about that there. But here's what I want to do. I want to say that that stuff you believe about Jesus, that changes everything. It's not just one of those other things. It's actually a massive deal. If he rose from the dead, as this passage is talking about, well, that's even bigger than the fact that he died. Because between you and me, I don't know many other people who've risen from the dead and who then stayed alive. I know people who've had kind of almost near-death experiences, or even people that Jesus raised from the dead, but then they went on to die. But I don't know anyone who you can't find their body now, you know, or their thing, because there's this amazing thing that the tomb was empty. And that the risen Jesus actually appeared to people. And here's the staggering thing. Is that actually a lot of people, even Peter, who wrote with Mark this gospel, he wasn't sure. He gets this rebuke because he's not like Mary who had this confidence and she went and told them. But Peter and other disciples, they were kind of really slow, even though Jesus had told them this is what's going to happen. They get rebuked for their, look what it says in Mark chapter 16. He comes to them in verse 14 and he says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe even after they had been told that others had seen him. And folks, we've been told. This is the account of those who've seen Jesus. And so what are you and I going to do with this? Are we going to believe it? Or are we going to live as if it really didn't happen? And I'll just give you a heads up. The Bible's clear, we have an enemy. His name is Satan or the devil. And the enemy is always looking to undermine your faith. He's always looking to kind of water it down. He's always looking to kind of cause you to forget it or shift it to some other part of your life or kind of rationalize it away. But one of the amazing things about the Bible, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, about Christian people is that we encourage one another to keep coming back to this central faith about Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose again. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you living, this evening, are you living your life in a way which recognizes that Jesus really is alive? Have you really grasped that? And though I recognize a lot of your faces and I know some people are visiting with us from other churches, I don't want to assume that just because you're here, and it's great you're here, that just because you're here, you really believe this. Because actually it's a hard thing to believe. So just in a few short minutes, I want to tell you some of the things that I come back to when my heart's all over the place and I'm thinking, did that really happen? Is that really true that I come back to and say, yeah, I know this for sure. And I see these a bit like, has anyone ever done any rock climbing? Anyone done any rock climbing? Yeah? Recommend it. It's great fun. You might think you've got to be super strong in it, but actually it's all about kind of where you put your feet and making sure you've got a firm foothold and a strong place. And the fact that Jesus existed, that's one of my firm footholds. All historians think Jesus existed. And that you can kind of, you can be sure Jesus existed. And then I know he died. I know many accounts, even inside and outside the Bible, talk about his death. So I know that's there. I can also be sure of it. But what about this resurrection business? Well, I keep coming back to some kind of sure-footed things. I'm quite a kind of logical person. I like that kind of stuff. It's my science background. So here's the things I come back to. No one ever found Jesus' dead body after Easter Sunday and the resurrection. No one ever did. The grave was empty. The empty tomb. It's just loads of people would have loved to. The Romans, the Jewish authorities, they would have loved to have said, no, sorry, this Jesus stuff is rubbish. Here's the body. But no one ever did. So the first bit of evidence I come back to is the empty tomb. Can you say that with me? The empty tomb. It's always stayed empty. Mary found it, said, look, it's empty. It was empty. And then there were angels who spoke about it. There were people like Mary who spoke about it. And later, it was the apostles. After they got their rebuke, they started speaking about it. People said, we've seen him. In fact, one time over 500 people saw him. And there were witnesses, many eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive. So that's another thing you've got to wrestle with. We have some of their written records in your hand. In fact, we have more written records of people who saw Jesus than we have of almost anything about history of that time or before. That's how amazing it is. So you've got the empty tomb and the eyewitness records, okay? The empty tomb and the... You've got it. So we got our foot on, kind of, we're climbing this rock face, and you've got your feet on something secure. Here's the next thing. The early disciples, they were quite afraid. Even the women, they were a bit bewildered. They're all like running away. Their leader has just been killed. Now they're hearing rumors that he's alive. But here's the thing, when they met Jesus, the risen Jesus, they changed. There is no other reason for why the disciples would change as much as they have. If they hadn't seen him, if it was just a lie, they would no ways have been willing to speak about Jesus, even though they were getting beaten and thrown in prison and even killed. They wouldn't have done it. The change in the disciples means, again, there's something rock solid about them. So there was not just the empty tomb, there was the eyewitness account, and there was the change in the disciples. Empty tomb, eyewitness account, and changing the disciples. And then there's a whole bunch of people in this room and about a billion around the world who spoke to Jesus today and felt him speak to them. I would say I was one of those. There were moments in the service this morning, moments when I got up, moments this afternoon where I just felt the Lord Jesus nudge me, point to something in the scripture. I felt I could talk to him and he heard me. There's the personal testimony of Christians now that believe he's alive and know and experience that in some way. And you take all those things together in those moments when the enemy is trying to undermine your faith, and they will come. And you cause them to let you go, no, this is something sure. I'm going to build my life on it. And if you're here today and you've not been sure, I want to say, like Mary, I'm sure, with the disciples, was there kind of pleading with them, saying, hey, it really happened. It's really, the tomb is empty. Hey, Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. It means that you can sing a song like that with such gusto and wonder, whatever you're going through in life, even in your last breath, hey, I know this is not the end because Jesus has conquered death forever and ever. Hallelujah. So should we continue to worship? And maybe just as the band come up, let me just pray. And if in your own heart you may be doubting at the moment, or maybe you've never got to that place of saying, yeah, I believe Jesus is alive. I tell you what, it's either true or it isn't. If it isn't, we're just wasting our time. But if it is, and I believe there is strong evidence that it is, and I believe it, if it is, then it's good news. It's good news for you. It's good news for me. It's good news whatever you're going through. And so let's bow our heads and just do some soul searching. Lord, we don't just want to sing about these things. We want to build our lives on what is really true. Lord, we want to listen to those who are going to speak truth to us. And Lord, if Mary and Mark and the apostles who wrote stuff down, Lord, if this is true, and Lord, I believe it is, I pray you would grow our faith that you are alive and you're here. I just pray for any who right now may be wrestling with that, wondering, maybe you've had a bad summer and maybe something's kind of knocked them, or maybe they're going through a crisis and just don't feel you're close to them. Lord, I pray that they would still know that you're alive. Or maybe for those who have heard this maybe before but never really kind of taken it to heart, Lord, I pray tonight, please stir faith. Come, Holy Spirit. We have here Mary. She believed. She believed the angel. But we also had those who kind of hung out with Jesus a lot and they kind of stubbornly refused to believe. And, hey, don't be like those stubborn disciples. Lord, so soften our hearts. Thank you that even they turned around. And we just pray, risen Jesus, as we worship you. Lord, we pray, open our eyes. So should we just stand together? Just where you are, just let's respond in worship and praise. Just tell him what's in your heart.